Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show, folks. Tony coming to you from New Zealand. First show for 2023, so Happy New Year, folks. And Happy New Year to my guest, John Heller, who I'm sure you'll all be well familiar with. And it's great to have you as the first guest for 2023, John.
Good to be with you, Tony.
I always enjoy our conversations, and very briefly off air you told me some shocking stuff that you want to cover, so folks, you don't want to miss this information. It's super important. So John, you've recently been to Israel. Now I know, I'm sure we have a mixture of people listening. Some people are totally anti-Israel, some people are extremely pro-Israel, and so, you know, the information, folks, just don't have prejudices as much as you can in any direction on this. Just listen to the information. Don't prejudge stuff. You know, if possible, just have a listen to what John's got to say, because it's extremely important for the days ahead. So, John, I'll let you take over.
Okay, so I got invited, and to me, I consider it a blessing because I love Israel, and I love it for the history, for the archaeology, and everything. And it seems to me to be sort of a microcosm of like everything in the world. So when I see all these things happening in the United States, I see this narrative that the elites in charge want to build. They want to control the flow of information. They want to control what you talk about. And they're doing the same thing in Israel. They're weaponizing the justice system. They're weaponizing the legal system. They have judges that, in my opinion, and I've followed it and read a lot about it, that are out of control. And I'm not saying that I agree 100% with everything that Israel does. You know, I jokingly said one time that I don't agree. I'm not all 100% in Israel's corner. I think Netanyahu should have attacked Iran years ago rather than waiting around until now. And I meant that in kind of a facetious way, because I don't support everything that they do or everything that goes on. But so I got invited to this Christian Media Summit, and they have a director of international religious affairs in the Israeli government, and they set up a conference and they bring in media. So they bring in Christian media, and it was a broad swath of Christian media. It was everybody from people who lean towards the Zionist end to people who were very pro-Palestinian. There was even a reporter there from Crux News, which she lives and works, or she reports on the Vatican, lives in Rome. So it was a broad swath. There were about 120 media people there, and about from 50 different countries, Africa, India. And I mean, it was like the UN of Christian media. So one of the things that they did there, though, and so I want to kind of keep this focus, was they had different sessions. So they took us down to the Pool Siloam site that they just announced on Friday that they're getting ready to open up over the next couple of years, which I think has incredible prophetic significance. It's the Pool Siloam. There's a processional road. We got to walk a good bit of it. It goes from the Pool Siloam up to the Temple Mount. And they want to open this for pilgrims. And this is the road, the pilgrim road that would have been taken by Jesus and others from the Pool Siloam up to the Temple Mount. But they also did a business conference. They brought in a Jewish business guy. He's one of these startup business guys. And he did a presentation. And some of the things he said were just sort of shocking, because Israel's, you know, about 9 million people, and that includes Arabs, I believe. It's not that big of a country. You know, we went down to the Gaza border. You could see Egypt from where we were at a kibbutz down there right next to the border. And so that was only about a 2-hour drive from Jerusalem down there. So it's not that big of a country. But this guy came in and talked about the business. So this is where I kind of want to focus today on a couple things, because I can't remember when it was released, but Neuralink, this is the brain chip company of Elon Musk, did a big show and tell presentation of about 3 hours. And let me talk about that, because there was something in there that really struck me, the way they structured this. And so they talk about all the good things we're going to do with this brain chip. And there's a couple companies that are competing on this. There's a company called Synchron, which is Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates funded in the tens of millions of dollars. And they're actually into human trials with the Synchron brain chip. But the Neuralink chip is, I think, much more sophisticated. It has thousands of connections to the brain. And so they went through a presentation on Neuralink, and they talked about all the good things that we're going to do. Like, here's a guy with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, who can't walk. Here's a guy who can't see. Here's a guy who can't hear. And when you look at the graphics and the videos that they do, it bears a very strong resemblance in my mind. And so I'm a Christian. I believe in Bible prophecy and believe there is this Antichrist coming. And the Antichrist terminology sometimes is not proper. It's not so much anti-complete in the sense that it's completely opposite of Christ. It's a pseudo-Christ. It's a fake Christ who's going to do false signs and wonders. And so when I'm looking at the development of artificial intelligence and these chips and these brain chips, the way the presentation for Neuralink was organized was very interesting, because it was, we're going to help people walk. We're going to help people see. We're going to help people hear. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not sure if it was in that presentation or the guy who presented to us in Jerusalem, but the term that was used, I think it was the guy in Jerusalem. He said, the lame will walk. And when he said that, I literally almost fell off my chair, because when you're looking at this development in the technology realm of artificial intelligence, you're looking, I think, at the foundational system for the beast, the Antichrist, the pseudo Christos who's coming. And I immediately thought back to the passage in Matthew where the disciples of John the Baptist, they come to Jesus and they say, hey, John wants to know, Jesus, are you the one, or should we look for another? And he says, you go back and you tell John that the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. And it's very interesting. And by the way, one of the stories in the Bible that talks about Jesus putting mud on the guy's eye happened at the Pool of Siloam. And I was there 2 weeks ago. They're opening it up. It's at the, as I said, at the southern end of this Pilgrim Road that they want millions of people to come as they get ready to rebuild the temple, to walk up just like the pilgrims did 2,000 years ago when Herod built this road. So here what you have is you have this Neuralink company who's coming in, and they're saying, we have this really good stuff that we're going to do for you. And so I've often said, for years I've said, when this Mark of the Beast system comes, it'll be presented as, this is a really good thing. So in a world where things are, you know, we have concerns about forgeries and elections and videos and that type of thing, you know, tying a lot of the technology to blockchain and that sort of thing will help with security. And now they have this brain chip. Look, we're just going to put it in your brain. And we have, you know, 1,200, 34,000 connections or whatever the number is. And you're going to be able to walk. You know, you're John Haller. We know that you have a great niece who is totally deaf. And I would love to have that precious little girl here, you know, because she'll be four in a couple of days. And it's troubling because, you know, I think of all the things that she's not hearing. So along comes Elon Musk, and he's going to say, hey, look at all this great stuff we can do with this chip. And then you get business people like this guy in Israel who runs around the Middle East. He's big on the Abraham Accords, and I think there's a huge prophetic significance to that as well. And he's talking about, you know, we're doing all this artificial intelligence startup technologies stuff in Israel. We should have, based on our percentage of population in the world, we should maybe have one of these financial unicorns that come in and help people start up companies. But in Israel, we have 100. I mean, it's very disproportionate. For example, with the United Arab Emirates, they're talking about doing business. And originally, they were talking about doing $1 or $2 billion of business. Now they're talking about, over the next decade, they should easily exceed $1 trillion in business and capital flows and all this other stuff. And the numbers are kind of shocking when you sit there. I think somewhere around 25-30% of all tech startup money in the world now is coming through Israel. You know, Israel, tiny Israel, is now supposedly the eighth most powerful military on the planet. And so there's this artificial intelligence aspect to this B system that's coming that's very interesting. But the other thing that they mention, and this is what I want to kind of talk a little bit more about right now, there's a new app out called ChatGPT. ChatGPT, GPT in all caps. And it's artificial intelligence. And yesterday in my update, so if you want to go to Fellowship Bible Chapel and check out my update called Here We Go Again, when I use the, you know, like an artificial a robot breaking down the 22 and the number 2022 as we go into 2023. A friend sent me, Joel sent me a video of, it was graphics tied to a talk by Jordan Peterson. And my understanding is Jordan Peterson has become a believer. He was very famously a rational atheist or agnostic. But my understanding is he may have had a conversion experience and he's now a Christian. I'm not sure. I'm not totally convinced, but that's between him and the Lord, of course. But he talked in this video, it's about 8 minutes long, about ChatGPT, this new artificial intelligence. And he said, I gave it, what you do is you give it instructions. It's almost like a replacement, an enhancement to the Google search engine. In fact, it's considered such a threat by Google that Google had a all hands on deck meeting the other day to deal with this threat to their entire business that they see from ChatGPT. ChatGPT was developed by an open source AI thing called OpenAI. It was released about November 30th, and it goes back in what they told us at the conference, which would have been 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now. It had, at that point, it had only been out a week, and it had way above 1 million downloads on the App Store for Google and Android. And essentially what you do is you give it an instruction. So Jordan Peterson says, I gave it this instruction. I want you to do a paper on this particular thing in this style, but also consider this Chinese, the way this Chinese author wrote. And Jordan says, listen, I think I gave it an impossible task. And it came back with, like, I don't know, a 4 or 10 page paper in 3 seconds that he said was actually pretty good. It probably was above or at the average intelligence of a university student at a good university. But he said that the people that are doing it, there's a guy named Keller that's involved in this. And Keller is the guy who sort of designed the chip and the function in the iPhone and for Apple. And they're talking, they're like giving it instructions, come back, write this novel, do this thing, and also generate renderings of the people that would play parts in a movie based on this novel. And my understanding is it's able to go through this process and do things like this in a matter of seconds. And what I think it was this Keller guy or somebody else who's been involved in analyzing this said, the concern is this thing just came out. It's only been out a month. People are using it. Universities are concerned about students just using it to write papers. In fact, The Guardian, I'm looking here at my computer, there's an article in The Guardian 2 days ago, and it says, AI-assisted plagiarism, and ChatGPT bot says, well, we have an answer for that. But there's also professors that have gone in and said, well, if it can write the paper, can you grade the paper for me? And it's doing this. And so I'm just telling you that there's been rumors about this in the legal profession for a while, that something was going to happen with this AI that was going to be threatening to the entire business of lawyers who draft contracts and agreements and that type of thing. But the other thing that they're concerned about is that it can render things, it will soon be able to render things so accurately in terms of a forgery that you won't be able to tell, like, the real person who's saying something from a fake person who's saying something. In other words, it's sort of pulling in all these disparate aspects of information, knowledge, art, video, audio, and that type of thing. And it's kind of melding them all together into a finished product. And it's doing it very quickly. And you know, I was looking at some of the stories of the year as I was preparing my update for yesterday. I was coming across all this stuff about quantum computing. And how when quantum computing comes, there won't be any uncrackable passwords or anything like this. I mean, it may make blockchain obsolete. And I'm just saying is, I don't want to freak people out, but I don't know, Tony, how long the world can go on with stuff like this out there. That's where I kind of come down, is from a Bible prophecy standpoint. Because when you ultimately peel the onion back, it's very much like the Tower of Babel. And so, you know, I think that the first Babylon is going to have aspects. It's the pattern for the final Babylon of history before the Lord returns. And one of the things, you know, it says there is that they think these things, and if I don't, I'm paraphrasing, I don't intervene, nothing will be impossible for them. So there's a couple aspects of this that I think are fairly frightening in the way that they're coming about, because I also, as I'm kind of peeling the onion on it, I get to the World Economic Forum layer. And I'm remembering, I think it was the Davos meeting, World Economic Forum, is coming up in about 2 weeks. I'll be monitoring that. I'm sure a lot of other Bible prophecy guys will as well. But, you know, I think it was 5 years ago that I first ran across this guy named Yuval Noah Harari, who's sort of even been called the prophet of the World Economic Forum by people in the World Economic Forum. And one of the things he said in that talk was, you know, will the future be human? What will it mean to be human in the future with this growth of artificial intelligence and technology and that type of thing? And so this is 5 years ago. Now we're at places where somebody jokingly said in the YouTube comments, was your prophecy update prepared by you? Or was it ChatGPT that prepared this? And I'm thinking, like, well, I think ChatGPT might actually be able to do a better job. But it's not perfect yet, but it's only been out a month. And Harari made an interesting thing. What it will do is it will take away a lot of people's livelihoods. I mean, if you don't need lawyers to draft contracts, you maybe need the lawyer to review a few minor details in the contract. But if you don't need lawyers to do that, what do you do with all those lawyers? Now, I know what people say, well, fewer lawyers, that's actually good for society. But Harari, in his talk at that time, he said, listen, I'm a medieval historian. In the Dark Ages, the serf was kept around by the lord of the manor because he actually provided services for the lord of the manor. He cleaned the manure out of the barn. He planted crops. He harvested crops. And he had an economic value for the lord of the manor. But Harari said this 5 years ago, we're at the point where we're soon going to have an enormous number of people who have no discernible value to offer humanity. And what do we do with them? And Harari gave a talk, probably November. He was interviewed, I think it was like a TED talk, just audio. I think it was in November. And he said, you know, this thing's coming. It's like Noah, he doesn't believe in the Bible. He doesn't believe, he said, Jesus is fake and the resurrection is fake and all this. But then he uses biblical imagery and stories. I believe his father, by the way, he's a gay man, lives with his partner in Tel Aviv, and they have a couple kids. But I think his father was a rabbi. This is what I've seen a number of places. So he obviously knows the Bible and everything. And he used the story of Noah about how we need to get the elites of the world, when they see this trouble coming, will have an ark to save themselves. So I'm just saying, as I've been doing this Bible prophecy thing for a long time, I've talked about, we don't know exactly how these things play out. And, you know, we all have our best guesses and that type of thing. And I've always said we need to be humble in our way, but I'm not saying that this has reached the final thing that it's going to be, but I'm just saying is this thing is so far down the road that I know where I'm going when I die. I said yesterday, I'm 68, almost 69. I'm actually glad I'm an old guy, you know, because, you know, I only have so many years to put up with this. But, you know, like I said, I have twin nieces that are 4 years old in a couple days. And so I think about what's the world like for them if the Lord tarries, especially when all this stuff is going on and you have these big conferences and meetings like Davos and the Fourth Industrial Revolution and artificial intelligence and Neuralink and brain chips and this chip and social credit scores and all of this stuff converging all at once. You know, if I didn't know the Lord, I would be extremely concerned based on what I know. I think that's the bottom line. It's the world is really, this is accelerating, it seems like, to a conclusion.
Well, Jesus did say if the days weren't shortened, no flesh would survive. So you can see with all this happening, it heading in that direction where you say they won't actually need the majority of people, the elites, they will think they don't anyway. But as slightly digressing, but going more back to what you were talking earlier, as you were saying it, I was thinking about the Jewish religious leaders in the time of Jesus that did, he worked miracles and he, you know, said all the right things from God and they hated him. And this right. was the lawyers and the scribes and the Pharisees and, you know, the chief priests and all the powerful people in Israel at the time. And they hated Jesus and it was them that crucified him. And so I think, you know, if this plays out full circle, it's going to be that same classes of people that will accept the false Messiah, the Antichrist. And so it right. makes complete sense to me that that the leadership in Israel and these powerful people with the supposed intellect and all of that are going to be the ones pushing this and crying out to get this beast system up and running. And so it makes complete sense to me. Now, I do fully support Israel's right to exist, and I believe there are many, many people in Israel that will have no idea about half of this and would not support it and will not accept the Antichrist either. But I think it makes complete sense that it will be those powerful people that accept the Antichrist, because it was those same type of people that crucified the real Christ.
Well, you know, Christ, you know, they certainly rejected him. He wasn't doing things that they thought he should do to bring in this kingdom age.
I think that's only part of it. They were also extremely jealous of him too. If you can read that in the narrative too. So it was a double-edged sword,
right?
Really.
He was upending their whole. Yeah. He was upending their whole system, and I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked on this.
Well, they were afraid he was going to take away their place. I mean, there's a verse about that. You know, the Romans will take away our place of authority and our temple and so on and so forth. So there was a huge amount of, you know, self-serving in it.
Sure. And I did a sermon a month ago, early December, we're doing a series on the life of Messiah, sort of in a chronological order, mashing up all the scriptures so they're in chronological order in the Gospels. And I did the trial of Jesus, and, you know, there were 20-some errors that would, you know, in a court of law, and you appealed the verdict, it would have gotten reversed. But there was a clear system in place. Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, his son or successor as high priest, and one of the hearings for Jesus took place at the house of Annas, and it was a mansion. I mean, they were heads of the religious system there, and they lived in a mansion. This house was like a 6,000 square foot house in Jerusalem, and those days 6,000 square feet was a palace almost, and. So they were upset with the way the system was going to happen, but I don't know. There's a lot of talk about how does this whole thing play out and that sort of thing. I think we've sort of got the things in place as to how it's going to play out, because I have to tell you, Tony, I think if you went to most people, whether it would be here, it would be Washington, D.C., or it would be Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and Israel, and you talked about, you know, your concerns about where this is going, a lot of people are going to, they're going to look at you like, why are you bothered about that? Why are you concerned about that? I expressed to someone in Israel that I was concerned about the Abraham Accords with the way that it's going because of who it's with and the enormous economic component to it, which I said, I think it's a trap. And they were like shocked that I would even say that because, well, this is such a great thing. And it just showed me that, you know, Jesus warned us that the biggest thing to be afraid of in the end times was deception. And it talks about believing the lie in 2 Thessalonians 2. And I just think, I don't know, Tony, we're living in a time where it's going to be difficult to determine what reality is in the not too distant future. Because like I said, this thing just came out. It's just getting started. And go look up ChatGPT do a Google search on it. Be careful about downloading the app, by the way, because I went to download it and I got reference to an app that was a fake Chinese app. So be careful if you're going to download it. And I've had friends that have downloaded it and played around with it a little bit. And it acknowledges it has limitations, but Jordan Peterson says, I gave it like an impossible task. And I even gave it a theological thing on Jesus points in the Sermon on the Mount from a certain philosophical standpoint. And it wrote like a 4-page paper on it in 3 seconds. how is this possible? So I think all the college students are thinking like, oh man, I'm going to get through here pretty easily. But I just think it's a, it's part of the convergence and acceleration of things that I've been talking about for quite a while.
Yeah, sounds like it. And the same. I mean, I've covered the artificial intelligence thing and transhumanism and all of that a fair bit. And you couple that with all this climate change agenda and the controls on what they're wanting, keeping people in smart cities within 5 kilometers or 15 minutes and so forth. You can see where it's all going, and it's not a good picture. It's not. I mean, it's like a frightening picture, really, in terms of people, especially young kids and people growing up that don't know any different, haven't lived in a normal sort of time, because everything is becoming more and more abnormal. Wow.
I was looking at the in my presentation yesterday. If you give me just a second, I'll pull up the quote. The and it comes from a book by the founder of the World Economic Forum. Oh, yeah. He wrote a book on the reset, but this is, I forget what page number it is in the book. It's near the beginning. It's page 12. And it says, you know, that he wrote this at the beginning of 2020. I'll try not to use words that might trigger some of the social media artificial intelligence thing that sweeps our thoughts. But he goes, many of us are pondering when things will return to normal. The short response is never. Nothing will ever return to the broken sense of normalcy that prevailed prior to the crisis, because this crisis marks a fundamental inflection point in our global trajectory. Some analysts call it a major bifurcation. Others refer to a deep crisis of biblical proportions. But the essence remains the same. The world as we knew it in the early months of 2020 is no more, dissolved in the context of that crisis. I mean, that's, they lay it right out for you. They never hide. They're certainly not hiding anything anymore.
Yeah.
And so I don't think the world returns to normal, but I'm just saying is that even for me, this ChatGPT thing, because of the traction it got everywhere in the business press, in the tech press, among business people. So 3 weeks ago today, I would have been sitting at this conference listening to this guy talk. And so that would have been what, December 12th, roughly. Yeah, December 12th. And it had only been out like 10 days. And this guy was saying this thing's going to upend everything. And then I listened to Jordan Peterson. My friend Joel sent me something over the weekend, and I played it yesterday. It's in my update. And maybe I can get you a link to the whole video, but it's concerning. I mean, so listen, we know where these things are headed. We have a good idea where these things are headed. And I think I'm more convinced than ever that this is it. I just don't see, I see the leaders of the world, the elite, saying normal's never coming back. We're changing everything. We're in charge. You mentioned the 15-minute city. You know, NEOM is coming out. That's going to be a 5-minute city. And they're building it. I've got satellite and drone video of them building this thing in Northwest Saudi Arabia by the Red Sea. There, you can see the line forming, so to speak. And this is, by the way, this is who Netanyahu comes into office. And he says, I've got three goals. Number one, stop Iran. Number two, make peace with Saudi Arabia. And so I'm thinking like, well, I agree with number one, and I understand why you want to do number two. But I'm looking at this neon city that looks, is this the final Babylon, the final Babylonian city of human history before the Lord returns? Maybe it's somewhere else. Okay. I'm telling you though, they're building this right now and they're making way more progress on it than anybody thought they would in the last 6 months. And maybe this is it. Maybe this is it. Certainly something to pay attention to, because everything that you talk about, data control and, you know, analyzing data, social credit, that type of thing, it's all encapsulated in that city that Mohammed bin Salman is building.
Yeah, wow. Well, I'll tell you what, John, like I mentioned to you before, due to my schedule, I've got to keep this one short today, and I'm really busy. But I would love to carry on and do like a part two of this in a few days' time if you'd be keen to do that.
Sure, that'd be great.
That sounds great. So, okay.
Happy folks, New Year.
And Happy New Year to everyone out there. And so, folks, don't forget to check out John's channel. Just tell them again quickly where they find you, John.
Fellowship Bible Chapel on YouTube, and then on Rumble, Real FBC. And then we also have an app if you just want to download our app, Fellowship Bible Chapel.
That's awesome. And folks, don't forget aminutetomidnight.com as well. Make sure you subscribe to us there. And A Minute to Midnight's run 100% by donations. And if you want to donate, that's always welcome at our website. And just very quickly, I want people to be on our website and subscribe to our Rumble and BitChute channels, because I just mentioned, John, I had a YouTube take down a 3-minute trailer video of mine from 18 months ago and give me a second strike the other day, because I'm already on one strike, and they said it was for medical misinformation. But I actually appealed, and for the first time ever I won an appeal against Google, and they reinstated the video and took the strike down. But folks, what that tells you is we have to be so careful what we say, and there's times where you're going to find uncensored things on our website and so forth, and the other channels that you'll never find on YouTube when we do them. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Well, thanks, John. This has been an awesome discussion. Great. and thanks, let's come back and do a second one very soon.
Look forward to it. Thanks a lot.
Cheers.